Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Hey, did you know that one of the largest U.S. flags in the state of Georgia stands proudly in Pure Talk's parking lot? Now, to honor that flag, Pure Talk is supporting America's Warrior Partnership. Now, they have a mission to prevent veteran suicide. Now, you can help this great cause simply by making the switch to Pure Talk before Flag Day. Get America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N, to make the switch. That's puretalk.com/Sean for superior cell phone service, and you get to help a vet in need. Are you being influenced? Well, if you watched a blockbuster film in the last decade, well, then there's a chance it has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, here's the reality. The CCP may be running the largest influence campaign in history. Now, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epic Times, well, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free when you go to the website hollywoodtakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.
Building a system that was entirely dismantled.
But you acknowledge you're likely going to see a surge.
We very well could.
Any concern by folks around here that these migrants will take the phones and just toss them? And
then... Do you have a record of people throwing phones away?
The Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So I don't find it to be interesting.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome. The revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity.
The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind the scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
This is a special edition of The Sean Hannity Show. America trapped behind enemy lines.
Day number 237.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, toll free. It's 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, I've been telling you what to expect. Remember last year we had a, 30-year record high illegal immigrants coming into the country. And if you think things are bad now, it's only going to get worse. There's going to be a tsunami as now the administration has announced their decision to end what's called Title 42 authority. And that is a CDC regulation that allowed a portion of illegal immigrants to be expelled from the U.S. During the COVID pandemic. That's going away. And by the way, word has gotten out among illegal immigrants and people that want to enter this country illegally in the hope of getting amnesty that the doors are wide open. Listen to DHS Secretary Mayorkas saying the Biden administration is rebuilding the immigration system dismantled by Trump.
When Title 42 is lifted, it could mean up to 18,000 more migrants every day. This will become an even bigger crisis. How is the department preparing to deal with it?
It's very difficult to predict what that migration will be, but we are planning for different scenarios. We are then at the border, surging resources. What distinguishes us from the past is the fact that we will not implement policies of cruelty that disregard our asylum laws. We are rebuilding a system that was entirely dismantled.
But you acknowledge you're likely going to see a surge.
We very well could, and our job is to be prepared to address it.
Okay, now let's listen to Jen Circleback Psaki discussing Governor Abbott's decision to send illegal immigrants to D.C., calling it a publicity stunt.
Last one on this. Now that the Texas governor is saying that he's going to start busing border crossers to Washington, D.C., when they get here, are you guys going to help them find a place to stay and something for them to do?
Well, I'm not aware of what authority the governor would be doing that under. I think it's pretty clear this is a publicity stunt. His own office admits that a migrant would need to voluntarily be transported, and then he can't compel them to because, again, enforcement of our country's immigration laws lies with the federal government, not a state.
Washington, D.C.?
Well, listen, I don't know, but I know that the governor of Texas or any state does not have the legal authority to compel anyone to get on a bus.
Anyway, joining us now, he is running for Senate from the great state of Nevada. Our good friend, candidate Adam Laxalt is here. By the way, latest poll numbers have him up in that great state. I knew his father from years ago, served in the Reagan administration, and a great politician in his own right. How are you, sir? Glad to talk to you.
Well, you know, it's hard to be happy with anything that's going on right now, and there's no question this open border and what it's leading to is a top issue here in Nevada. People just, they're absolutely astonished that this administration can continue to overlook this. I know Senator Masto is part of the crowd a few months ago that said this is, you know, being overbrought by the right wing, and that, you know, this really isn't a crisis. But the bottom line is that this is a huge crisis in our state. We have huge spikes in human trafficking, huge spikes in drug trafficking. You know, I was the former AG, and I'm still in touch with a lot of our local sheriffs. And, you know, imagine these local sheriffs at these very small departments trying to deal with these fentanyl corridors, trying to deal with, you know, massive, you know, main, you know, gang criminal activity that are coming through our state, and no cooperation from the federal government. They're trying to keep our community safe, and all the while, you know, our home state senator, it just continues to cheer on open borders. But, you know, I'll tell you, you've probably seen some of the reports, Sean, that, you know, New York Times has raised a huge alarm in the state of Nevada because she is now at 50-50 with Hispanics in the state of Nevada. We were up 47-40, and it's because they've had it. They know these policies make our communities less safe, and you know, which is why we're seeing her trying to flip-flop on Title 42 to try to save her political career, not trying to do it for the right reasons and actually make Nevada a safer place.
You know, this would be, if we look at this election year and we look at the states that are in play here, we've got your state, we've got your neighboring state, Arizona, we've got Missouri, we've got Florida, we've got Georgia, we've got North and South Carolina, New Hampshire, Ohio, we got Pennsylvania, we got Wisconsin. You're talking about every bellwether state in the nation. And for a long time, I was kind of looking at your state as leaning more blue. But I'm beginning to think that, like the rest of the country, that the policies and the failures of Joe Biden are resonating with people all across this country, and they've had it with everything Washington, and they're ready for a change.
Well, let me just say that all those states you listed are not created equally. A lot of those states are Republican holds. But for Nevada and Georgia, we must flip these two seats. These are the top two flips in America. You know, Arizona's a late, deep primary, and they've got a lot of stuff going on there, as you're well aware. These are Georgia and Nevada. Herschel Walker and I are absolutely the one and two pickups. And I've got to remind people that Trump only lost Nevada by two. And Senator Masto only won her Senate race with Harry Reid as the majority leader by two. And so, yeah, we've lost a handful of cycles in the last few presidentials, but this is a dead center swing state. And with everything that's going on right now, this is absolutely going to be our year. People cannot believe what's going on. Joe Biden is at 34% in the state of Nevada. And so this is our time. This is our time to flip Nevada for 6 years and be part of, you know, being the 51st seat to flip the U.S. Senate.
You know, I got to tell you something. Your dad was a great politician, a really smart guy. I know you follow in his footsteps. Let's talk about your political ideology and philosophy and what guided you and motivated you to get into this, because it's not an easy racket.
You know, I had never run for anything in my life. I never ran for school president. If you experience politics as a family, it's something that's one heck of a turnoff. It's very rough on families. And it wasn't until 2014 when there was an open attorney general race in the state of Nevada. And we had a lot of Republicans and Democrats that combined together to support a Democrat for AG. And I was just appalled that we were not going to put up a strong Republican opponent. And so, you know, I started that race down 40 points. Nobody gave me much of a shot, but we fought all the way back and obviously won that race. And I was motivated to be part of the fighting conservative attorney general group that was pushing back against Obama's phone and pen at the time. And as hopefully your listeners remember, this is the only thing holding back President Obama, the Republican AGs. And so I was proud to be part of that group that was able to try to restore the Constitution and fight for our state rights, especially a Western state that gets trampled on by the federal government often. And so, you know, we had a great record. We're AG. And, you know, once the Senate race became, you know, became open, you know, this was going to be the 51st seat. And I knew I'd have the support of President Trump. I was his chairman in 2020 here in the state of Nevada. And I just knew there was no one that could take her on that would have the name ID, have the ability to run the type of campaign that we are running now. We're on offense. You know, we've got her on the run. We're highlighting the fact that her offices is closed. She's terrible on borders. She's terrible on law and order. Obviously, she continues to stand with Biden on the hypercharged Green New Deal as opposed to open our country back up for American energy independence. And so the time couldn't be more perfect to contrast two former attorneys general, one that stands on the side of law and order, stands on the side of a secure border, and another that continues to stand with the left.
Let me ask you about what is going on with the current senator, Catherine Cortez Masto, and this lie about her office closed in Washington, D.C., with a sign on it that says do not clean or cleaning not required, and her staff telling the Nevada Independent over the weekend that the office is open, and image of it being closed were taken after business hours. That was quickly proven false by the Washington Free Beacon, a journalist who took the photos and the video when he produced a timestamp showing they were taken at 1:56 on Monday, March the 7th. Why did they lie about that?
You know, I mean, this is what we face as a conservative in the state of Nevada. You know, Washington Free Beacon, they bring cameras, they record it. They're highlighting what should be a huge issue, that our Democrat senator does not have our office open in the face of, you know, all-time high gas prices, all-time high economic troubles in our state. And instead, they just take her canned statement that, no, we're open. Well, the Free Beacon reporter, as you suggested, went back, showed the timestamps, and showed that it was shut at 1 o'clock on Monday. And so, you know, these people, you know, when we're pushing to Nevada media, their response is something like, well, who isn't working from home? Why is this a big deal? Which shows you how out of touch our elites are in our media, that Nevadans have been working for a long time, and they're doing their best to grind out a living. The least they can expect is their senator's office to be open open. I just sat with a bunch of law enforcement last week. Guess who was open every single day of the pandemic? Law enforcement. I can assure you, Sean, if I was a sitting senator right now, my office would have been open throughout the pandemic. But this is what you get out of Democrats, and this is why we launched No Show Masto. This is a senator. Not only is their office is not open, but no one in the state of Nevada can think of a single thing she's done in 8 years of an attorney general and 5 years as a U.S. senator. She just doesn't do anything for our state. She doesn't stand up for our state, which is why we've got such a great contrast with her.
All right, quick break. Right back. More with Nevada Senate candidate Adam Laxalt is with us on the other side. Then we'll get to your calls. 800-941-SHAWN, our number if you want to be a part of the program. As we continue with Nevada Senate candidate Adam Laxalt, by the way, I'm supporting his candidacy. He'd be a great senator for Nevada. What are the most important issues facing Nevada? Because, you know, I love the state. I've been there so many times. I love the people in the state. I know that the state disproportionately was so negatively impacted by COVID with the casinos and closing them, et cetera, and it's been very hard on working men and women out there. The unions have a powerful pull politically out there. Where are you with them, and how is the recovery going for the state?
Well, let me just start with the fact that there's no question that COVID lockdowns by our blue state governor, blue state legislature were catastrophic for our state. And obviously, Governor DeSantis, you know, a dear friend of mine, has also endorsed me in this race, showed the country the opposite way. And they refused to shift course. And as a result, we have this unique opportunity to explain to our voters that they can't blame Trump for COVID like they did in 2020. This is Democrats' fault.
By the way, we had more people die in 2021 than 2020, and Joe Biden was handed three vaccines and monoclonal antibodies.
Well, look, I lived it in 2020 as the chair, and when the Democrats rolled out to Culinary Union and all the people that lost their jobs, the 100,000 workers that lost their jobs, they blamed it on Trump. And I said, God, no way anybody's going to buy that. But a lot of people did buy it. But it's been 2 years since a lot of these jobs haven't come back. The economy's still in huge trouble, and people understand the schools were shut by Democrats. They understand that their kids lost a year or more of education. This hit the working class, as we all know, more than it hit the wealthy people. They're able to just kind of carry on. And so they're pissed. They're really upset with how this was dealt over the last few years, which is why you're seeing such a shift on the ground. And people were upset with BLM that went on here in the state. And again, this is a perfect opportunity. Once an officer was shot in the head in Las Vegas, it was an opportunity for a former top cop, a former AG, to take the microphone and stand against violence. And she was nowhere to be found. She supported all the George Floyd national legislation, said the police was systemically racist. And look, you're going to start seeing this huge about face. She is running commercials in Spanish language now, trying to tell those voters that she's tough on crime and that she's been a champion fighting against human trafficking.
Well, you have the ability to make your own ads to counter that. We are very supportive of your candidacy. You're one of the few people that I am proud to endorse. I've not endorsed everybody. I'm only supporting America First, Make America Great, Save America, conservatives, and you're one. And I strongly urge people to look at your track record, your positions. Where can they see where you stand on the issues? Do you have a website?
Absolutely. AdamLaxalt.com. L-A-X-A-L-T.
All right. All right. We're going to follow your race very closely. Thanks so much for being with us, Adam at Laxalt out in Nevada. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean.
800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. Quick break. Right back.
Accountable. Sean gets the answers no one else does. America deserves to know the truth about Congress.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. I'm sure that Ron DeSantis is probably doing backflips as Los Angeles County has barred official travel to Florida over the states. Now, it's the Parental Rights Act. That's what it's called. The word gay is not in the bill. All it says is kids that are, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe, I don't know, what, up to third grade, what are you, 8 years old? Do not get indoctrinated, and they don't discuss, without parental permission, obviously, issues involving gender identity, sexuality, etc. This was interesting. Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra actually suggested support for taxpayer-funded gender-altering procedures on children. Now, this is on children, and that it would be taxpayer-funded. Anyway, he appeared to express that support for taxpayer funds being spent on gender reassignment surgeries on children, quote, in this gender-affirming care, Mr. Secretary, have there been tax dollars put forward to fund mastectomies, hysterectomies, sex reassignment purposes for minors with gender dysphoria? Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, who's been on this program, asked during a hearing. And anyway, while Americans are entitled to receive health care services, they're entitled to receive any of the cases you just mentioned. And later in this exchange, the Congresswoman asked the HHS secretary about a parent's about a document suggesting removing children from homes is on the table if the parents withhold gender-affirming care for their children. Now, the Secretary of Health and Human Services then responds, I can respond very quickly, Congresswoman. I believe in supporting and protecting transgender youth. I believe that they, along with their parents and their caregivers, will make the best decisions, and I would really urge that politicians like you stay out of their business. Now, I'm trying to understand what he's saying here, because if you're going to do something as dramatic as have this type of surgery, and you're not old enough to buy a beer, you're not old enough to be in the military, you know, how young are we even talking about here? They didn't define the age, but they're talking about young children specifically. We're saying that literally support the idea that it's on the table if parents don't agree with young children, and say that you're too young to make this decision. We'll address it maybe when you're 18 or 19 or 20, whatever the age is. What, the government's going to take the kids away from the parents? Is that where this debate is now headed? Linda, did you see that?
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I mean, the whole thing is kind of enraging. And I was talking to Lauren, who used to work on the show this morning. And, you know, we both have young kids. And she saw something on Instagram that was so well said. And I'll quote it here. We have little kids. They believe in a big fat guy dressed in a red suit in a sleigh, and delivers presents all over the world in one night. And they believe it because they're young and they're impressionable. So if you go into a classroom and you tell little kids that are boys that there can be girls and little girls that they can be boys, when they're at that age, they don't even think about that stuff. You know, my son doesn't look at a little girl and think, I want to be a little girl. He thinks, what does she have in her lunchbox that I can trade? What kind of toys does she have?
That I can steal.
That I can steal. You know,
that I can take without her looking.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just not thinking about this stuff.
Let's put aside, okay, let's say there are kids that have this, and maybe we don't understand. Now, I've had these conversations with Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, they've been straightforward, no BS, you know, because I've known Caitlyn back in the day when Caitlyn was Bruce Jenner. And I said to Caitlyn one day, I said, like, if I call you Bruce one day by accident, you're not going to get pissed off, are you? And she started laughing. She goes, no. She goes, not a big deal. We've known each other a lot of years. I actually said to her, I said, I'd be lying to you if I said I understand this. And she had a great answer. She goes, I wouldn't expect you to unless you had the same feelings that I had. I mean, it was a straightforward conversation, which I kind of appreciated. But I don't think the idea that they could bypass parental approval and consent on something so life-altering at such a young age is mind-numbing to me. And what's even worse is the idea that the government, well, first, they'll make taxpayers pay for it, put the money aside, but they think that they know better how to raise children than the parents do. Now, if somebody has those feelings as a young person, okay, they can express it to their parents, express it to the doctor, express it to the school, express it to whoever, you know, they want to talk to. But there's got to be an age where they make that decision as a mature adult. What age that is, I don't know. I mean, when I was growing up...
Can I jump in for 1 second, Sean?
Being 18 was the legal drinking age, yeah.
This really... this bothers me on a level that I don't really have a strong enough word to even say how much it bothers me.
Because you're talking about young children, right?
Yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, Anthony and I were talking about this the other day, and I really kind of feel like this is where we're at right now. As a nation... Here in America, we don't respect our elderly. We put them in nursing homes. We don't visit them during COVID. We didn't get them anything that they needed. You know, they died in horrible, gruesome numbers, especially here in New York under Cuomo. And then we have little kids that are being trafficked across the border. We have them in foster homes, and they're in and out of bad homes. And then the government decides that the focus is going to be on their sexuality at the age of 5. Like, as a nation, we really have a lot to do, to work on, to understand the priorities. And what we're supposed to do is take care of our young and our elderly, learn from the elderly, protect the young. Protecting the young is not talking to them about sex at the age of 5, 6, 7, 8.
No, the role of schools and the role of government should be limited. The only line I liked of Becerra was, I would really urge politicians like you to stay out of their business. Okay. I'll go along with that, because at the end of the day, if this is what somebody chooses to do as an adult, it is none of my business. And that's how I look at it. I'm not going to sit here and say I understand it. And that's the discussion that I had with Caitlyn Jenner. I'm not going to sit here and judge people. I'm just going to say I look at it. That's their decision. They're an adult. But when you get into the issue of, you know, literally it's on the table that if parents withhold, quote, gender affirming care, meaning, and we're very specific here, they're talking about gender reassignment surgery. And if it's withheld from a child by a parent, that it's on the table, that if the parents withhold it, that they could be taken away from their parents. Now, that's not a parent's decision till the point of a kid being 18, unless they're emancipated at 16, which some kids have done, and they've gone to court and they've got emancipation for whatever reason.
Yeah, but if you want to self-advocate when you're in puberty and you're 16, fine.
I do not believe that you're mature enough to make a decision as drastic as that, as life-changing mm-hmm. as that, as irreversible as that at that age.
I agree. I also think when you're a teenager, and you know this better than me because you've had two of them, that when you're a teenager, you know, we've all been there, you are out of your mind, your hormones are at their peak, you make decisions you would never make 10 years before or 10 years after. When you're a teenager, you make the most bizarre decisions, you get upset about things that you would never care about at any other stage of your life. And
you're now in what I call the sweet spot of parenting, because Liam
100%.
Is 6 years old. Okay. He's a great fun kid.
Yep.
This kid is all boy. I mean, he's bouncing off the walls. He reminds me of me when I was a kid. But you're going through a period where he'll get into his routine. He'll do his schoolwork, and you're going to have those years. Then the teenage years come, and then you face a whole new set of challenges. Not the least of which is you got to worry about drugs. You got to worry about drinking. You got to worry about sex. You got to worry about all these things. You got to have these discussions with your kids. Some people have problems having those discussions. I had no problem being very graphic and saying whatever was on my mind and talking about these things repeatedly, to the point my kids were like, Dad, I get it. Stop. Shut up.
But also, Sean, don't you think nowadays, I have two things, right? First of all, there's a lot of parents who aren't as open and as honest as you are. But there's a lot of other outlets for kids now. I mean, True. Really, a lot. So, but putting that aside, look at the amount of teachers that are quitting their jobs because they can't talk to five-year-olds about sexuality. I want to know why you want to talk about kids about their sexuality.
If I was a teacher, I would not view that as my role.
100%.
I'd either be an English teacher or, I'm joking, of course, I can't spell to save my life. let's say reading, writing, math, English, science, history, computers, all right, whatever. By the way, I could never be a computer teacher. Anyone that knows.
I know. I'm like, English or computers? Maybe not.
I'm like, I can't even barely download an app. So the reality is, there are certain things. If this is going to be a life-altering decision, because you're talking about gender reassignment surgery, and you're talking about underage kids, you're talking about parents potentially being on the table, that if they withhold the gender-affirming care that their children want, I just think kids at that age are too young to make that decision.
100%. And what about the faith aspect?
Okay.
What about God?
If they decide at the point when they become an adult that this is definitely what they want to do, okay, they've now had years to think about it, know all the consequences, know that it's permanent. As far as I know, it's permanent. My understanding of it is, and that they're willing to live with their decision, and they've made a well thought out decision that works for them. At that point, you know, they're an adult. They can do what they want. And you can't, and one thing I'll tell you about kids too, you cannot make them do what you want them to do. They're going to decide on their own what they want to do at some point.
That's absolutely correct.
And you have, and look, I was a little bit of a helicopter parent for a period of time, that ends very quickly. And you have no say, no control, and you just hope that the values you tried to instill in them, worked for them, and that their own set of value systems emerge that are hopefully compatible with yours. And if they're not, then you're going to have to find ways to love your children, whether you like their decisions or don't like their decisions. It's just the way life is. You don't stop loving your kids because you disagree on something.
But I also think we're in a really weird place, Sean. I mean, the same people.
Doing this to 5 and 6 year olds and 8 year olds is a little. It's none of their business. You know, the idea that, you know, the HHS secretary is telling the congresswoman, I urge politicians like you to stay out of their business. I urge him to stay out of the business of kids' sexuality.
And can we just raise a
business
point?
Either.
Yeah, Becerra. Who the hell is Becerra? Not for nothing. This is the same guy who put $6 trillion into a COVID funding bill where only 10 cents of every dollar went to it. Oh, and he wanted to put crack pipes out. This is the guy we're trusting with our children's identity? I don't think so.
I just cannot believe that there are parents that would accept this. I don't believe they would. I think most parents are probably with us. If a child, once they become an adult, then it is their decision. There's nothing you can do as a parent anyway. Legally, they're emancipated. They're adults, and they'll make their own decisions. And frankly, in a free society, and I believe in liberty, and I believe in freedom, and I believe in the pursuit of happiness, at the end of the day, if that's people's pursuit of happiness, and that's what they want to do, I want them to be happy. And in that conversation I had with Caitlyn Jenner, I said, look, at the end of the day, it's your life. I want you to be happy. And,
Just leave the kids alone.
Sean, I'm happy with my decision. I said, okay, that was the end of
it. That she made as a grown-up.
She made it as a much older adult.
Yeah. After living her life and having experiences and making an informed decision, she made a decision about her body and her life, and she is living her life, and she's not hurting anybody else, and she's not making any choices
for
anybody else.
She's funny as hell, I got to tell you. So we're doing this issue on transgenderism in sports and women's sports, and Leah, what's her name, Thomas, the swimmer. And Caitlin goes to me, I could play LPGA events. I still drive the ball 280, 290 yards. And it doesn't matter what my testosterone levels are now. It matters what they were when I was 18 and 20.
Exactly.
And which I thought was pretty funny. And she wants to protect women's sports, which I agree with her on that, too. And
thank God somebody does.
That. All right. 800-941-SEAN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. Quick break. Right back.
The final hour of the Sean Hannity Show is up next. Hang on for Sean's Conservative Solutions.
Save now from our friends at Pure Talk.
Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.